Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. Like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs. I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk. They hear you. For more information, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
WRCT, Insane, from Way Out.
WRCT Pittsburgh, your oil revival station.
I'm really trying. I'm was in the hallway drinking a glass of tea. From the other end of the hallway, a rhythm was generating. Another boy was sliding up the hallway. He merged perfectly with the hallway. He merged perfectly with the mirror in the hallway. The boy looked at Johnny. Johnny wanted to run, but the movie kept moving as planned. The boy took Johnny, he pressed him against a locker. He drove it in, he drove it home, he drove it deep in Johnny. The boy disappeared. Johnny found his knees, started crashing his head against a locker. Started crashing his head against a locker. Started laughing hysterically when suddenly Johnny gets a feeling. He's been surrounded by horses, 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 coming in all directions, white, shining, silver, studs with their nose in flames. He saw horses, 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 singing a high pound name, like Bony Marrone. Do you know how to twist?
Like I said, I felt his hand on my knee, on the screen.
screen, and I looked at Johnny and handed him a branch of coral flame in the heart of man. The waves were coming in like Arabian stallions, gradually lapping into seahorses. He picked up the blade and he pressed it against his smooth throat, spoon, and let it dip in the veins, dip in to the sea of possibilities. Dip in,
he started hardening in my hand
to the sea,
and I felt the arrows of possibilities.
I put my hand inside his cranium. Oh, we had such a brainiac, no more, but no more, no more. I gotta move from my mind to the air. Go, 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 gotta go and do the what you see. Yeah, do the what you see. Do the what you see. Shot open, coiled snakes, white and shining, twirling and circling. Our lives are now entwined. We will fall, yes, together, twining your nerves, your mane of the black shining horse in my fingers. All entwined, in your silky hair. I could feel it. It was the hair going through my fingers. The hairs were like fire.
found hope in the midst of an overwhelming situation.
Alcoholism is a disease that can affect any family. Everyone suffers, but there is help and hope at Al-Anon Family Groups.
Al-Anon gave me my life back. I'm a better father and husband.
Are you in an overwhelming situation because of someone else's drinking?
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Local and virtual meetings are available. Maybe one could work for you. Call 1-866-200-0033 or visit alanon.org/hope.
WRC
T Pittsburgh
88.3. We are scientists in our lab. Microscope. The little glass side, they never lie. How can this fall my code? I've never seen anything like it before. This amoeba's got a mind of its own. But don't turn your back, stupid science world. This is reaching for the telephone.
I want to be stereotyped. I want to be classified. Classified.
We'll be right back. Michael Norwood, Health Tip of the Day from the African American Wellness Project.
This is Law and Disorder.
Today on Law and Disorder, we'll discuss a lawsuit that has special meaning this week that we honor Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
We'll speak with civil rights attorney Flint Taylor about new evidence alleging FBI and NYPD involvement in the assassination of Malcolm X.
We speak with Professor Emeritus from Purdue University, Bill Mullen, on Black resistance to fascism. Bill's written two books, We Charge Genocide, American Fascism and the Rule of Law, and the Black Anti-Fascist Tradition, Fighting Back from Anti-Lynching to Abolition. What Bill has to say is profound. We can't rely on anything but ourselves in the streets, demonstrating from day one.
Stay with us.
I'm New York City attorney and author Michael Stephen Smith.
And I'm New York City attorney and activist Heidi Boghossian.
And I'm Maria Hall, Los Angeles civil rights lawyer. A groundbreaking legal case seeks justice for the family of one of our country's most iconic civil rights leaders, Malcolm X. In an unprecedented lawsuit filed by his daughters, the Shabazz family is challenging the U.S. government, the city of New York, and several high-ranking law enforcement agencies. At the heart of the case is the claim that state actors, including the FBI and NYPD, played an active role in the assassination of Malcolm X on February 22, 1965, and that this involvement has been systematically covered up for decades. This suit, Malcolm X Shabazz et al. Versus USA, not only seeks justice for the wrongful death of Malcolm X, but also aims to hold the government accountable for its complicity in the assassination. The case draws on newly uncovered evidence linking federal agencies to the events surrounding Malcolm X's death, as well as for framing and wrongfully convicting two men who were only recently exonerated in 2021. The legal team behind this case includes civil rights attorneys Benjamin Crump and G. Flint Taylor. If successful, their argument could rewrite the historical narrative surrounding one of our country's tragic and significant moments. At the core of this case is the question, how deep was the state's involvement in silencing Malcolm X? How coordinated was the campaign to prevent the rise of Black leaders? And what has been the scope of the government's role in suppressing movements for racial justice and civil rights, both in the past and in the present day? We're joined by attorney Flint Taylor of the People's Law Office in Chicago. Flint represented the family of Fred Hampton and revealed that the FBI and Chicago Police Department murdered him in 1969. Flint is an editor of the Police Misconduct Law Reporter and is the author of Torture Machine, Racism and Police Violence in Chicago. Flint Taylor, welcome back to Law and Disorder.
Thank you, Maria. It's really nice to be with you and Heidi again, and I'm looking forward to discussing this very important topic.
Well, why don't you start by telling us a little more about the lawsuit filed by the Shabazz family? What are its main objectives, and what are the key claims made against the government and law enforcement agencies?
Well, as you know, it's almost 60 years since the assassination of Malcolm X, and a tremendous amount of evidence, so to speak, has come out over the years, but particularly important evidence came out approximately 3 years ago in the case of the two men who were exonerated for being wrongfully convicted for the assassination of Malcolm X. So that gave us the ability and the foundation to bring this case on behalf of Malcolm's sisters and on behalf of his estate. And of course, it is a 1983, a civil rights case brought under the Anti-Ku Klux Klan Act of 1871, and it seeks damages for the family members, and it has about nine different counts in it, and it has various claims, including two important claims that are based on the suppression of evidence by the FBI and the New York Police Department and its BASI unit, the Red Squad unit of the NYPD, and those claims being denial of access to the courts, effective ability to bring a case over all these years, and also fraudulent concealment under New York law. So those are the predicates for our being back in court at this point. And of course, there are other claims of conspiracy under the Civil Rights Act, claims of wrongful death, and claims of other kinds of violations of the Constitution.
Flint, are you able to share the details of new evidence that surfaced in recent years suggesting state complicity in the assassination? And how does this new information impact the case?
Well, in November of 2021, when the two men were exonerated with the behind the work of the Innocence Project and the prosecutor, Cyrus Vance, they made reference to new evidence that implicated the FBI in a widespread cover-up of information that was relevant to the assassination, as well as evidence that further implicated the BASI unit of the New York Police Department in a conspiracy, not only to facilitate the assassination of Malcolm X, to permit it to happen, knowing that it would in all likelihood, but also in a vast cover-up, which, as I mentioned, prevented, among other things, not only the public from knowing the true scope of the government and police involvement in the assassination, but legally speaking, prevented the family and the estate from effectively seeking justice in the courts, access to the courts. And some of that evidence included revelation that there were numerous FBI informants in the ballroom at the time that Malcolm X was assassinated, and that J. Edgar Hoover, together with BASI, made sure that none of those informants were revealed, nor could they be witnesses to what actually went on in the ballroom. So that was a very important piece of evidence that was revealed for the first time in 2021. Another extremely important piece of evidence was that the other shooter, the man Bradley, who wielded the shotgun that assassinated Malcolm X, that he had not only an FBI file, but he had mysterious connections to the government. He was out of the Newark Mosque, where the